Well, we've been talking this month about yielding to the Holy Spirit, and we're going to continue that today. And so I want us to just pray. Father, thank you for, God, just all that you are. Thank you for your presence in this place, God, for speaking to us. God, we just invite you to continue to speak to us. Let us have open ears and hearts to hear what you're saying today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you will put up the first PowerPoint, please. So we're going to go through this definition, and it's interesting. I feel like a lot of this we have already touched on, but I feel like this is something that we are have to continually learn what it means to yield to the Holy Spirit. And so yield means, number one, to give or render as fitting, rightfully owed, or required. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. We're going to read those verses. I feel like a lot of Christianity can become about, I said this Wednesday night, but this was has really been a revelation for me, can become about God giving us what we need so that we can do things for him. And God, I need you to give me enough love so that I can love people. I need you to give me enough boldness so that I can speak. What I'm learning, though, is that Christianity is meant to be us opening up ourselves so that he can flow through us, us allowing him. Because what we become is we become like children that say, okay, God, give this to me so that I can show you how good at it I am. The problem with that is that then we do things apart from the Holy Spirit, apart from God. And the problem with that is that leads to pride, because then we're looking at how well we did it because of what God, we were asking God to give us. When in reality, we need to become dependent on the Holy Spirit. We need to allow him to flow through us and allow him to work those things. And as we give ourselves wholly to the Lord, then he can work in us. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So you can be seated. So we have to get this revelation. As Christians, I feel like so often we separate our Christianity from the Holy Spirit, from God. And it says that glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have to get that Christianity, first and foremost, is surrendering of ourselves to God. Surrendering my wisdom, surrendering my thoughts, surrendering my agenda, surrendering my plans and my direction and everything that I have. Paul said, I count. He listed all these things that I have that I can glory in the flesh. And then he said, I count those things as rubbish, as dung, as nonsense, though, so that Christ can be formed in me. And this is the problem, is that very often our humanness gets in the way of our Christianity. And that's where the fight comes in. And yet this scripture clearly says that our body and our spirits are God's. And so when we understand this really and truly, and we learn really and truly how to yield to the Holy Spirit, then becomes less of us arguing with God about how he's telling us to do things and how he's doing things in the world. And it becomes more about us yielding to his plan and his way and his direction and his agenda. The number two, put that PowerPoint back up, please. It says to give up possession of on claim or demand. I believe that God is doing things within his body, within his church body. And I know specifically here, he is calling us to a greater level of yielding to the Holy Spirit. He is calling us to a greater level of dependence on the Holy Spirit. As opposed to, like I said, like it's always been easy to do, to say to God, God, this is my plans, this is what I have, and I just want you to bless it. This is often what we do with our lives. We say, God, these are, and we talked about this Wednesday night. God, this is my plan for my life. Can you just bless it? Can you come and be involved in my plans? Can you help me to have what I need so that I can accomplish the plans that I have made and the things that I want to accomplish? And yet, surrender to the Holy Spirit is saying, Lord, what is your plan? What do you want to accomplish? And how can I work with you? How can I be completely submitted and surrender to you so that I can work your plan, so that your kingdom will come, so that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? And so as we do that, as we surrender to him, as we learn to flow with the Holy Spirit, and as we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit, then we can be powerful witnesses, powerful taking action on behalf of what God is telling us to do, being led by the Spirit, being, you know, obedient even to death like the disciples did. I mean, they were so committed that it didn't matter what it cost them. It didn't matter if it cost them crucifixion. It didn't matter if it cost them being burned at the stake. It didn't matter if it cost them prison. None of that mattered, because they were so surrendered to God's agenda, to what he wanted to accomplish, that they were surrendered to his ways. And I believe that that is what God is trying to accomplish, what he wants to do. See, Christianity can very easily become self-help. It can become, let me get up here and preach to you and tell you how to become a better person. The problem is, you can get that in a book without God. You can learn how to count to 10 when you're angry so that you don't, you know, blow up. You can learn that without God. Now, you won't ever be as good at it without the Holy Spirit, but you can learn to a degree how to bring your flesh into subjection to these, you know, these ideas that are well thought out. And we can take God out of the mix, and we can make Christianity a self-help project so that we can all become better people. The problem is, there are plenty of good people as far as they know how to control, you know, their anger. They know how to speak. They know how to do all of these things out in the world without God. We're supposed to be different. And so in order to be different, we have to surrender ourselves to God so that he can give us wisdom, so that he can speak through us. And so this says to give up possession of on claim or demand. That is yielding to the Holy Spirit. Look in Luke chapter 17, verse 32 and 33. And verse 32 says, remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife was when they were leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's wife looked back, and it says she turned into a pillar of salt. And Lot and his daughters kept going. The angel had specifically told them, do not look back at the city, at everything that she was leaving. And yet she looked back. And so here, Jesus was saying, remember Lot's wife. Do not look back at what God has told you to leave. Because listen, it is very dangerous. When God begins to deal with us about letting go of things, and we start looking back at what we're letting go of, many times then those ties become reestablished. We start to begin to focus on what if she had looked back and saw the city burning, and that could have hindered what she believed about God. Often we look back at things that God has told us to keep our eyes on him, and then we have all these questions, and we have all these, you know, thought patterns that God didn't want us to have. He didn't want her looking back. Verse 33 says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. We're going to look back. We're going to come back to this verse in a few minutes. If you look at the next definition, it says to give up as one's breath and so die. Jesus yielded up his spirit to give up the ghost. We know in the Christianity terms that as Christians, we are to give our lives, that we are to die in order to surrender our lives to Christ. That in fact, all throughout Romans, it speaks, especially in Romans 6, it talks about that I died and I gave my life to Christ so that he would live through me. But this says to give up and so die. The word when it says whosoever, let's go back to Luke 17:33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. That word lose means to destroy fully. To destroy, to die, to lose. So whosoever shall seek to save his life, ultimately, if we spend our whole life trying to save it, trying to gain the world, we will lose our soul and end up destroying what God was trying to do in us. It's not our job to save our own life. It's our job to lose our life to him so that he can save it. But like I said, I feel like something that God has really been teaching me is that Christianity is not self-help, and it is not God, give me these things so that I can do it apart from you. It is God, let me learn to submit and surrender to you so that my life is hid in Christ, is what the Bible says. So many Christians, I feel like, don't even understand that concept, that our life is to be hidden in Christ, that our life is to be surrendered and submitted completely to his will. That's what this life is about. It's about surrendering more and more and more of ourselves as God shows us areas in our lives that are not surrendered, that we say to God, you're right, God. I surrender that area of my life. Help me. Show me how to do that. Show me how to walk this out. Not on our own, because I could not do it on my own. But as I learn to surrender more and I recognize how much I need of him, I say to God, God, I need you. I can't do this on my own. But as we submit to him, then he can do it in our lives. The word save in that verse that says, whoever shall seek to save his life, it means to deliver or protect, to heal, preserve, to do well, to be or make whole. It is not our job to do that on our own, by ourselves. It's our job to call upon him so that he can save us. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the same word. We shall be delivered or protected, healed, preserved, to be made whole. As we call upon the name of the Lord. When it says call upon the name, call upon in the Greek, it means to entitle, to give a title to something. When we entitle Jesus as Lord of our life, then we will be saved. As we say to him, you are supreme authority in my life. And I know, I got to tell you, I know that this might sound like basic Christianity. And yet I feel like there are so many Christians that don't live surrender to the Lord Jesus. That, I mean, it becomes to where we really and truly, God tells us, God deals with us about certain things, and we cover it over. God shows us areas in our lives and we make excuses. God allows things to happen and we look at the circumstances instead of looking at him. The only way that we should come away from conviction and feel okay about it is when we have fully repented and said to God, God, you are right and I am wrong. Please forgive me. And then we walk away completely forgiven. We don't wait until we have it all together. I don't have it all together. I don't get it right every time. But if I cover something up, or I blame somebody else, or I make excuses, or any of those other things, when God begins to deal with me, I am not going to grow as a Christian. I'm not going to learn to be fully surrendered to him. And yet I feel like because Christianity has become being a good person and trying to become a better person, like I said, I can do that on my own and pat myself on the back the whole way, telling myself that I'm doing better. The goal is not for me to do better apart from him. The goal is for me to surrender to him so that he can work his will in me. We give him the title Lord, supreme in authority, not just in the world, but in our lives. A lot of people see Jesus as supreme in authority in the world. Yes, God, we want you to do all these things in the world. But do you know how that happens? It happens by us giving him lordship of our lives. We can pray all day that God would change this church. But you know how it's going to happen? As we individuals come into this place fully surrendered and submitted to the Holy Spirit, to be obedient to him so that he can move and do. Now, God is big enough that he can do what he wants to do anyway. But the prayer that Jesus told us to pray was, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He told his disciples to pray that way. So we are to be a part of allowing his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. It says, to hand, the next definition, is to hand over possession of. This is real Christianity, yielded to the Holy Spirit, Lord, the Lordship of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:23 says, "And you are Christ, and Christ is God's." Do we really understand that Christianity is God? Everything about my life is yours. Really. And every time that I miss it, God, I will repent, because my whole goal is to do exactly what you want me to do every day. And like I said, this might sound basic, but how many of us are really there to where we are really surrendered to God every minute of every day? God, not my will, but yours. Not my plans, but yours. Not my future, but yours. What you would have me to do, what you would have me to say. One of the reasons that I was so thankful that Janine started leading worship. You know, she started, and I feel I've been asking her to do it for a long time. And she said, "No, I just like singing with you." And I started getting breathless because of pregnancy. And actually, I think it was because I was anemic. And so I started getting real breathless. And she, being my sister, you know, said, "Okay, I will lead worship on the days that you preach, so that I'm not standing up here going..." And so that's how it started. And then we were both praying, and I said to her, "I really feel like this is God." But one of the reasons that I believe that God has placed her in that position is she is so desperate just to do God's will. Just to move out of the way and say, "Holy Spirit, you have your way in this service." And as she is doing that, God is anointing, and we are learning to worship. You know, it says in Psalm 100, "Come into his presence with singing." We don't sing so that we can fill up 45 minutes in the service, so that I don't have to preach for an hour or an hour and a half. We sing because the Bible says, "Come into his presence with singing." It's not our idea just because we like to sing. It's God's idea. And yet we say that we're surrendered, and yet we come in and we go, "I'm not singing that song." If the Bible says, "Come into his presence with singing," do we have the right to just not do what God says? Just go, "Well, I'm not really a singer, so that scripture doesn't apply to me." Listen, it doesn't work that way as Christians. And throughout your Christian life, you will come to cross sections where you go, "Yeah, that's not really me, God. Like, I understand that you want me to give a message in tongues in the service, but that's not really my thing." You know, I'm not really that type of person to give a prophecy. And yet, if we are surrendered to him, then when the Holy Spirit begins to deal with us and doing something that's uncomfortable for us, then listen, you do what I did, because the Holy Spirit, I admitted that there were years that the Lord would deal with me about giving a message in tongues. And I finally said to the Lord, "God, I can't." Me, Pentecostal AG preacher's daughter. I said to God, "God, I can't do that." And I went and I talked to my mom, and I've said this a bunch of times, but just in case you missed it or you need to hear it again, I remember right where I was out in the parking lot by the back part of the parking lot. And I said to my mom, "Mom, I can't do it. The Holy Spirit keeps dealing with me, and I cannot do it." And she said, "Shannon, I have heard everything but faith." And honestly, I was like, "Wait a minute." You know, I mean, it would have been easier on my flesh if she would have given me, you know, like, "Go and, you know, beat yourself up for a while and, you know, admit all these things to God and, you know, take it all out." I realized, wait a minute. So the problem here is that I don't believe that God can do this in me, that God can change me to be able to do that. And many times that is the problem in our Christianity, is that we are so focused on what I can and cannot do that we cannot move into what God is calling us to do. But what is that? That is all about me. That's focused on what I can do. Look, if I could do it on my own, I wouldn't need God. It wouldn't be Christianity at all. It would be self-help. And so what I started doing is I started coming into the service and I started speaking faith in my mind. "God, I believe that if you tell me, I will step out. I will be obedient. God, I believe." And look, this is how we renew our mind. We begin to quote the scripture over ourselves and we begin to say, "God, you said that I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Because otherwise what we do is we take that scripture and we go, "Oh, that's so nice. and we give it to other people that we see it'll work in their lives, but we don't apply it to our own lives. And that is very easy to stay comfortable in Christianity because we don't have to apply it to our lives. Like, it just works for everybody else. But we never change in that way. And yet, when we begin to look at the scripture and go, this is true for me, and I begin to just change my mindset from what was comfortable for me, from what I thought I could do, from what I could see myself, the type of person, because by nature, I'm very reserved. I'm a reserved person. And I thought, I'm just not that type of person, you know? And the Lord began to release me from the fear that I was walking in. And as I surrendered and I started just speaking to myself in faith, God, I believe that the next time that you tell me to speak, I will speak. And let me tell you, the first time I did it with fear and trembling. I mean, I did not feel like, okay, this is no problem for me. You know, there was still a lot of fear, but there was obedience because I had begun to renew my mind as to who I was in Christ, as to what his word said about me. Listen to me. You cannot change who you are if you do not read his word. This is what renews us. If you are not reading your Bible, you will stay the same. That's the truth. Because this word is what renews our mind. We have got to read it. Because as we read it, it reads us. And we see, oh, I thought that it was okay the way that I was talking. And it's not. That I did. And then the Holy Spirit will bring to our mind, sometimes as we're reading, that was gossip what you did earlier. That was anger, what you did earlier. That was selfishness, what you did earlier. And then we take that in honesty to God and we go, God, I was selfish. Please forgive me. And the Holy Spirit cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And then we walk in openness and in communication with the Holy Spirit and honesty with him. And he does the work in our lives. Let's look at the next one. To surrender or submit oneself to another. Christianity is about submitting to God over and over and over and over. James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And yet many people forget the submit to God part. Well, I'm just going to resist the devil. You can, but you got to do the first part before you do the second part. Otherwise, listen, if you are not submitted to God, you have opened the door for the devil to work in your life anyway. So you can resist him all you want, but you are opening the door to him over and over and over and over, because disobedience opens the door for the enemy. And yet when we are submitted to God, we can resist the devil and he will flee from us. Because when our lives are submitted to Christ, we are walking in obedience and surrender to him. Not that we have arrived, because Paul said, not that I have, that I'm already perfected, but I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. So we submit ourselves to God. Then we resist the devil and he flees from us. The next one says to give oneself up. Let's go back to the PowerPoint. To give oneself up to an inclination. Inclination means a particular disposition of mind or character or a habit. Listen, if you are going to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, some of your habits are going to have to change. Time that you spent watching TV, you're going to have to surrender to spend time in devotions instead. Or time that you spent sleeping, or time that you spent doing other things. It says to give oneself up to an inclination, a particular disposition of mind or character. Some of you in here, the Lord keeps saying this yielding thing to you because he wants you to understand it and get it. Listen, it is an ongoing thing with me. God, I want to be yielded to you. I want to be surrendered to you. And God is so good. He will say the same things to us over and over and over. Because he knows with some of us, like me, sometimes it takes me more than once of hearing it to surrender to it. An inclination, a particular disposition of mind or character. You cannot be growing in your Christianity and have the same mindset that you had 5 years ago. Your mindset needs to be changing because the Bible says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As we renew our mind is how our character is transformed. So much of the Christian fight happens in our mind because we make a determination to go one way and the enemy starts lying to us. I have seen it. Silas, the Lord has really been working in his life. He is 9 years old. I tell you, that boy has come up and confessed things to me from like 4 and 5 years ago. I'm like, buddy, I forgive you, you know? But the Lord, I really believe that the Lord is working in his heart. And every time something comes to his mind that he did, he'll come and confess it. And it might be from a week ago or a year ago or 3 years ago. But if it comes to his mind, he comes and confesses it. And you know, I've explained to him, buddy, God forgives you. But the Bible says confess your faults one to another. And sometimes it's not a bad thing for us to be honest with God. Now, when you get in condemnation is when you know that, God, I am repentant towards you, and the enemy keeps you walking in guilt over something that you have repented over. Now, you have to step out of that sin. You have to make changes in your life. You have to submit to the Lord and say, God, I have tried and I cannot do this on my own. And then you start looking up scripture about what the Bible says about a particular sin or a particular struggle. And you allow that scripture to begin to renew your mind on what you were before. And by doing that, you give yourself up to a different change of mindset, a different character. And the Holy Spirit begins to work in our lives through that. In order to walk in the Spirit, we have to live in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." My mom told me something, and it's so cool. Whenever God begins to speak something to you, do not be surprised when you hear it multiple times. Like you hear it from somebody, and then you hear it on the radio, and then you hear it in church, and then you hear it on television. And my mom said something to me, and I believe that God is taking people to a new level. Like he is taking you, and many times he will begin to deal with you in particular areas of surrender. He might lead you to fast. He might lead you to do certain things, but there are new levels in the Christian walk that you can walk in. But often, before you go there, or in the process of going there, old battles that you have fought will come back. And that's something that my mom said to me, and I was like, huh. And then I read it in a book that a pastor friend of ours had given to us. And I saw that happen in my own life. I saw battles that I thought, God, I fought this battle 10 years ago. Like, what is going on? And it was like an ongoing battle. The cool thing is, though, when you're moving up to a new level, you have new knowledge. You do not have to respond to that battle the same way you did 10 years ago, because you apply that scripture that God has taught you during all that time, and you hold up your shield of faith, and you pull out the sword of the Spirit, and the enemy will be defeated. But don't be surprised when it comes. So if that happens and you know that you're moving into a new level with the Lord, and it feels like, God, why am I fighting these battles? Like, I thought I was done with this. I thought we were over this. Many times that happens when we move into new things with the Holy Spirit. But if we will walk in the Spirit, it says, you notice. It doesn't say you might not. It says you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is a whole lot more than just sexual sin. Our flesh lusts for all kinds of things, for power, for accolades, for things, for all kinds of things. But if we will walk in the Spirit, we don't have to fulfill the lust of the flesh, because the Holy Spirit will point out that is flesh. And we can then crucify the flesh with its passions and desires, is what the Bible says. And that means that you say to the flesh, no, you don't. I am not living by my flesh anymore, because my body and my spirit are God's. And it doesn't matter how I feel, because I don't have to live by my feelings anymore, because I live by what the truth of what the word of God says. And you apply the word, just like I did with that being able to give messages in tongues, and you begin to believe that the word of God is actually true for you. You quote this scripture to yourself over and over. God, you said that if I would walk in the Spirit, that I would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when those temptations come into your mind, you submit yourself to God. God, I am submitted to your ways, and I refuse to walk in the way that I have walked in the past. And I resist the devil, and he will flee in the name of Jesus. And we walk in victory in that way. Verse 25 of Galatians 5 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if we live in him, then we can walk in him. But like I said, we have to continually make a choice not to separate ourselves from God. And listen, that is very easy when the Holy Spirit begins to point out things in our lives that are uncomfortable for us to deal with or that are hard. It's very easy at that point for us to separate ourselves from His work in our life and instead begin to try to make it up with good works. Well, God, but I'm going to do all these good things for you. But if we do all of these good things for Him, apart from repentance, apart from submission, apart from living surrender to the Holy Spirit, then it becomes me doing it. And then we struggle with pride because of all the things that I'm doing. And we have to struggle not to pat ourselves on the back on how well we're doing. And yet, listen, when we're walking in the Holy Spirit, the devil will try to deal with you about pride, but you become so aware of your need for Him that it does make it easier not to get into pride, because you're like, God, I just realize how much I need you. And that's a good place to be for us as Christians. The last one says to relinquish one's possession as a position of advantage or point of superiority. We have to over and over recognize, God, you are superior. Your ways are superior. Your thoughts are superior. Your plans are superior. Yours are better than mine. God, you know better, and you have better thoughts and better plans and better ideas. And God, I submit to your ways over my own. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Many times if we're leaning on our own understanding, we are not trusting God. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Those two verses, I have recognized the depth of those two verses. That is not just a verse, although I do often give it to graduates. It is not just a verse that you just pull out and you just go, okay, if I acknowledge God in all my ways, then He'll direct my path. So God, I just need you to direct me. And you make it a little prayer as you're doing what you were already planning to do anyway, and just ask God to bless your plans as you go. It's a whole different mindset to begin to really trust Him and to acknowledge Him in all your ways, in every course of life, in every mode of action, to seek to know Him and to be surrendered to Him. I want to end with these verses. I know it's getting late, but we have to, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, we have to yield to the fire. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit baptized with fire. Jesus said that there is one coming after me who will baptize you. Or John the Baptist said, there is one who's coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. If you've ever seen somebody get baptized, they don't dunk themselves. They yield to the baptizer. Like Rick usually tells them, put your hands on your nose, bend your knees, and lean back. If the person stands like this and refuses to lean back, they are not going to be baptized, because Rick is not going to take them and dunk them in the water forcibly. Now he's shaking his head. He might, you know, so be careful. But that's not how it works. You know, we have to yield to the baptizer. But when we learn to yield to the Spirit, then we just go, okay, Holy Spirit, baptize me. But He baptizes us many times with fire. Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is a consuming fire. Fire does a lot of things. It burns, it purifies, it cleanses, it brings things to the surface. It destroys, it shapes. We use fire to do many things in our world today. To make swords, they used to back in the day, to burn metal. I remember there was a time in my life when I said to God, God, like I just felt like He was showing me this ugliness in my life. And I thought, God, I thought I had dealt with all of that. And I said to God, God, where is this coming from? And I heard the Holy Spirit say, I am bringing it to the surface so we can scrape it off. Just like the refiner, they heat the metal up. And then when all the impurities come to the surface, they scrape the impurities off. God will bring fire into our lives to show us what is in our lives. I asked Rick, what did I do with it? Oh, when you put a tea bag, and I heard this a long time ago, but that you find out what's really in a tea bag when it goes into hot water. We find out sometimes things that are in our lives when we go into the fire. And we can say how much we love God all we want. But as we go into the fire, things come up in our lives. And sometimes then the enemy will condemn us and we just feel not even worthy to talk to God. The beautiful thing is God is the refiner. We don't have to run from him in those moments. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 that we can come boldly to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. So when we go through the fire and we start seeing these things come up in our lives, we need to take it to the Father. We need to say, Father, scrape the impurities off of my life. God, those things that you're bringing up in me, Lord, cleanse me of that. Because many times I believe that's why he shows it to us, so that we can deal with it, so that he can cleanse us from it. When the fire comes into our lives, we have a choice how we will respond, because the fire will determine much. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:13, that our work will be burned. If you put that verse up, 1 Corinthians 3:13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. This is talking about when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, after when we go to heaven, our works will be tried. If we will learn to submit to the fire of the Holy Spirit now, he can start burning off all those wrong motives now. I've admitted there was a time where I so much of who I was as a pastor was built up in how much people saw me do, because I was so, you know, I've heard all these jokes all my life. Oh, all I have to do is preach 3 times a week, you know, and I've heard the, you know, stuff that people say about preachers and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I was bent on proving how hard I worked all the time. Like, I mean, I felt like I have to be at everything, and I have to not only be there, but people need to know that I was there. Like, you know, and the Holy Spirit began to deal with me, and he showed me, Shannon, you are doing all this and you're not even building treasure in heaven because your motivation is wrong. Your whole goal is so that people will see you and see how hard you work and, you know how hard you're working. Listen, the Holy Spirit was dealing with me now so that the things that I do will be worthy when I stand before him. That's the beauty of walking with the Holy Spirit, is he will save us a lot of drama later, you know, if we will listen to him. In 1 Corinthians 13:3, it says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. So we can do a lot of works, but if our motivation is wrong, and if we are not letting the love of Jesus flow through us, it becomes me doing it so that others can see me and pat me on the back. And that is all the reward that you're going to get from God, is other people. And they might pat you on the back today, and they might not tomorrow. So it's not worth it. But if we submit to the fire of the Holy Spirit, he will keep burning in our lives. I want to end with this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, and I had never seen this verse this way. But it says, and quench not the Holy Spirit. This was at the end of Thessalonians when he was, when Paul was writing to the Thessalonian church, the people in Thessalonica, and he was given all of these, information of things that they should do. And this is what he said is 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. Do you know what quench means in the Greek? It means to extinguish. You extinguish a fire. We extinguish the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives when we stop submitting to what he is doing. Because he is a fire. Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is a consuming fire. When God called him, he stood before a burning bush that says it was continually burning and yet not consumed. In Exodus 3. When we submit our lives to the Holy Spirit, when we yield to the Holy Spirit, he baptizes us with fire, and the fire continues burning the things off of our lives. But it's not like a painful fire all the time. Now, sometimes it is, and the flesh hurts. But sometimes, man, it's like being the 3 Hebrew children in the fire. When they were in the fire, they were walking around in the fire. They were loosed from the ropes that they had been tied with. And when they came out, their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. Their eyebrows weren't singed. I mean, nothing. And it said, Nebuchadnezzar looked and said, and there is one like the Son of God. Jesus was walking in the fire with them. When we allow the Holy Spirit to become the burning fire in our lives, sometimes it is just like that. The fire is burning, but we don't even feel it. We're like, oh God, just burn these motives off of me. God, bring these things up to the surface in my life and scrape it off. God, purify me and let me be purer than gold. And when we feel it, 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13 says, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange things happen to you, but rejoice. Even when the fire is burning, we can rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you shall also be glad with exceeding joy. We can be joyful even in the midst of the fire. I never understood fully until the last probably couple of years that the Lord has just been teaching, doing some new things in me. And one thing that he taught me is that, you know, I believe that Jesus suffered the most. The reason for that is because in the midst of his suffering, the Father had to turn away. Our suffering never has to be to that extent, because we can always look to Jesus. We can always find grace to help us. We can always find his strength. Many times it is a change of mindset in the middle of our trial. Because if we say, God, where are you? You have left me. Then we feel like he has left us, and our focus becomes on ourselves and on our circumstances and on our feelings and how bad we have it. And yet when we begin to learn to be like the three Hebrew children and say, our God will deliver us, but even if he doesn't, be it known to you that we will not bow. And in the midst of fire, we choose to praise God and say, God, you are worthy and you are faithful and your word is true. And this is what you said. And as we begin to do that, our mindset changes. And then we can rejoice in the midst of the fire. Jesus went through the ultimate torture because he had to do it without the help of the Father. We never have to go through that because he said, I will never leave or forsake you. And so we always have his grace and his strength to draw on. And so as this song plays, I just want to invite you to yield more to the Holy Spirit. If you are already, this is the beautiful thing. If you're already yielding to the Holy Spirit, you just want to yield more. You just say, God, I just want to be more yielded. I just want to spend every minute of every day completely yielded and obedient to what you want me to do. As I'm at home, as I'm at work, as I'm with my friends, as I'm in entertainment, as I'm whatever I'm doing, God, I want to be yielded to you. If you don't have a relationship and you haven't surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus, I invite you to do that. If you have been living a self-help Christianity, I invite you to repent of that. Because we cannot save ourselves. If we seek to save ourselves, we will lose our life.